And beginning to visit Miss Mary with Debbie and Fee. Rick's not here. This Saturday, the after lunch, the 27th of January, 73. Channel 1 right, beginning to visit Miss Mary this Saturday after lunch, the 27th of January, 73. Channel 1 right, beginning to visit with Miss Mary with Debbie. Rick's not here, and Fee, this Saturday after lunch, the 27th of January, 73. Channel 1 right, and beginning the visit with Miss Mary, with Debbie, and Fee, this Saturday after lunch, 27th of January, 73.
Well, come on in.
I just got in.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I just got in. I've been out driving around.
I say you have.
Mm-hmm. What y'all been up to? Have to get the bread.
Mm-mm. I couldn't eat.
She might.
No, she's feeding me all morning. We made everything. Well, Miss Mary did.
Now.
Oh,
my goodness.
Well, you're sitting here feeling sorry for myself.
You all should have been with us.
God almighty. I don't know about that now. Whether I've been up to that or not.
Mm-hmm. I ain't up to nothing.
You didn't eat anything.
Didn't eat anything.
Well, sir, I'll declare to goodness. Face, it looks like she might have sold that flu. You know, I told her what had happened. She kept going back down to that damn doctor's office. Now, Dr. Gibbon is all right, but all them people out there that office,
see, here,
you
I didn't
catch
go
everything.
To nobody but Dr. Gibbon.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the office. Everybody down there sneezing and coughing.
I got so stiff in my knees till I couldn't get up the doorsteps.
Why, Miss Mary?
I did. And I went back down there and I said, Dr. Gibbon, there's something wrong with my knees. I said, the flu settled in it or something. He says, are you taking arthritis medicine? I said, no. I have to take some. He said, you go home and start on your arthritis medicine. And he says, don't you know every time you have a cold or the flu, your arthritis will flare up? I said, no. Well, he said, go on and take your arthritis medicine. And I went home and I went to taking my arthritis medicine. And I was all right.
Confound.
But he can't do Marvin any good.
Is that right? And Marvin hip.
And this morning he got up and his face was so bloated. One eye was almost swollen. Can you tell his face is bloated?
A little bit. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to do with him.
His face?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Go to the Veterans Hospital, I reckon.
Yeah.
Dr. Gibney told him, if that medicine didn't do any good, to come back and he'd x-ray him. I says, he's done been x-rayed. He says, I don't care, I'm going to x-ray him again.
Oh.
But that cost us money.
You have to get him well.
Yes, ma'am, and I wouldn't say a word about it if I knew that Dr. Mm-hmm. Gibney could x-ray him and get him well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looks like they all got to start in from the all
but
over
what
again.
Is funny to me, Dr. Gibney gave me a little green capsule, he said was for my belly. And he gave me a little tiny white tablet, was for my rheumatism. Well, when Marvin first went to him, he told Marvin, he said, take this box and no more. Don't have it refilled. He told me the same thing. When I took my box, he said, don't you take no more. I went back down there and I told him, I said, Dr. Gibney, I've got to have some more of this medicine. One more time. You can't have no more. I said, well, I don't see that it has any effect on me, only I just don't hurt. And now he's got it wrote on my bottle 3 or 4 times. And every time I go down there, you got any of your medicine? Yes, sir. Well, you keep it and take it. But he won't let Marvin have any more of it. Well, it done Marvin's hip good. And Marvin went down there, and I told him, I said, you talk to Mr. Wilson. Ask Mr. Wilson what's the symptoms of it. And Mr. Wilson said there weren't a thing in the world, only you just depend on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this is something new for Marvin to have an ailment. He never had one before, did he?
Nothing but ulcerated stomach.
But that way back on it.
Mm-hmm.
How come him to get ulcerated stomach?
He got it in the army.
Oh. Well, how'd he get it in the army?
I don't know.
That's the softest life he ever had.
I know, it's not either. Them buildings being bombed from over him, being shot at.
Have you got into it?
Oh, yeah. I got picture after picture of buildings that was bombed. He was in it.
I never did see one of them.
No, I never did show them to you.
You talk about all them pictures, and I never have seen any pictures over there except that little old measly, ugly calf you had.
Now you quit talking about my calf.
What calf? I didn't see that picture.
My little cow's calf. She was a runt. Dwarf. Midget.
Midget.
How big was she?
She is 18 inches. Tall was a 30. She's a little bit of a thing.
Yeah, she's a little bit of a thing.
I'll have to show you her picture.
Oh, I don't know. She wasn't. Well, a yard.
She wasn't that tall.
She wasn't quite that tall, was she? Maybe 30 inches.
Oh, my God.
Well, did you get any work out of her, or is she just ornamental?
We just missed it.
You mean you didn't get to go down and pick greens?
No, you know, I didn't think of it if I had thought of it. But
why?
You and her got to carry me back home, and I said, y'all can get the greens.
That's the time. Let me tell you something. You know, I've been fertilizing these darned oats off and on, and they've been in, you see. I've been grazing them since way back before mother. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, Lord help us, I'm not getting any growth. Well, I don't know what happened, but they just now get starting to grow.
Hmm.
And over in that far corner there, they're just as thick and way up high.
Marvin wanted to fertilize his rye, but we just ain't able to do it.
Well, you have to.
We just not able to buy the fertilizer.
You can't afford it. Or not to.
And you got an animal you can sell?
Well, we're fixing to sell some Monday.
You remember what Jarhead told me? I tell him how much these old tractors and things cost, all these implements. I said, you can't afford to buy that. Old Jarhead, you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Why, he's the last fellow I ever expected to say it. He said, well, you can't afford not to buy them.
Wonder, did Mr. Dodd get him a new tractor?
Did he bust his old one?
Ms. Dodd told me here some time ago that they had to have a new tractor. Wonder, did he get it?
You know, it'd be nice if they could get one where they didn't have to go all the way to the middle of the state for parts, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Something happened to that tractor. He got to go all the way to Daytona, hadn't he?
Orlando, didn't it?
Yes, Orlando. For parts. And past Orlando. That's a Keys.
Oh.
It's a good tractor, a big tractor, but it's, I wouldn't want to have it all.
Well, he ain't got no business with no tractor like that. He don't need a tractor that big just to farm, raise cow feed.
He's in the melon business, huh?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Pasture's going rush. Run it short again.
They never have any pasture.
What in the world? What y'all cook a little this morning?
Mm-hmm. We cooked some biscuits, some hush puppies, fried some speck of perch and a chicken.
Good Lord.
Why, Miss Mary?
If she won't.
I won't be able to eat anything.
She won't be able to put up with us anymore, will she?
Oh, yeah.
Speck of perch and some chicken?
Mm-hmm.
Can you make biscuits like Miss Mary?
Well, I watched her do it. Now, I need to see her do it one more time with my head over your shoulder. Because I was across the room while you were doing them this morning. But I watched you do them, flour and shorten milk.
Proportion, you think that matters?
Hmm?
The proportion. How much is this and that you put in?
No, I just put what I want to in there and make some up. I don't measure.
Yeah.
That is the thing.
I don't even measure my cake.
You don't?
Are there puppies?
Are you not?
No. But I had some speck of perch that I reckon I've had them 2-3 weeks. Put them in the deep freeze, and yesterday I decided I'd take out some and fry some for supper. You know you can't sleep when you eat them things for supper. I can't.
Speck of perch?
Any kind of fish. And I fried some, they were so good, and I decided, well, I'm going to cook Ruth some. And I fried Ruth a platter and fixed her some hush puppies. And I waited, and I never did see them come home. I called them about 8 o'clock, and Zane said they was fixing to eat supper, and I said, me sitting down here waiting. Got a plate full of fried speck of perch and hush puppies. He said, well, good Lord, I'll get in my car and come get them. And I said, well, you better, because I've kept them hot. He come down there and got them.
Oh, gee, yes. What'd he do, come the wrong way?
He come from towards Micanopy.
Yeah.
So I fried some today, and they were good. They weren't
good. Oh, they were.
It's like they come out of the lake.
How do you freeze them, Miss Mary?
I clean them, and I wrap them in put them in these yellow little plastic bags and put them in the freezer.
She doesn't bother with water.
Mm-mm. I tried it both ways, and I like that the best. They're just as good.
Speck of perch, where in the world did you get them?
Polly and Joe went fishing, and they caught a whole bunch and brought us some about 2-3 weeks ago. Come home and the sink was half full of speck of perch swimming. My brother had come over and he told me he wanted me to come over and butcher me some chickens. Some old hens he had, it was fat. And so Marvin and I had gone over there, and they come by and left while we were gone in the kitchen sink.
I don't know where they all come from, them psychopaths. They can just catch a wash tub full, and there's plenty of that the next time.
Well, Mr. Miles, you don't know nothing. Marvin used to go out and sing. And he didn't want nothing from to catch 8,000 pounds.
What?
That's right. That's been a long time ago.
Sure.
That weren't yesterday.
Yeah.
They bootlegged him.
What?
I'll tell you what he done. You might not believe it, but he made $800 in two nights. One time, and that was the last night.
Yeah.
It don't hurt them. It does them good.
Yeah.
The more you catch up, the more they raise. They a pond or a lake can get just like your pasture.
Oh.
You can overstock it, or you can overstock your pasture, and that's the same way it is.
I didn't realize that.
That's right. And, you know, the fish will get to where there'll be so many in a wad till they won't bite. But you could go in there with a seine and catch out some of them, and you can just catch fish. You can't hurt a lake by seining it.
Now, that was two times.
Two nights. Two nights, and he made $800.
At night?
Two nights, he made $800.
So he went at night?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's a little unhandy.
No.
They can do it at night as good as can they?
Better. And they had to do it at night on Sunday game mornings. And they had a good game warden.
Oh.
Yeah, he was waiting for him.
Well, he weren't out there.
But then they didn't go back.
Well, it was all over. They done that. They sang for I don't know how long. But they passed a law where, you know, the fish couldn't go out of the state.
Yeah.
And that put a quiet to it.
Well, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that that was the law.
But you know, people, now it's slick, slick. You're not supposed to sell a fish, a scale fish. You know what these restaurants do? They fry them and sell them. And that's a violation of the law.
It is.
Yes, ma'am, it is. But they do it and they get by with it. Miss Nell down there at Cross Creek. Zane Hogan's told me last night, said, me and Ruth went down to Miss Nail's night before last and said, went down there to get us a catfish supper and said she had some speck of perch and I begged her out a couple of slices and she sold them a couple of slices. That's against the law.
Well, how's that? You can't sell...
Scale fish? No, ma'am.
Scale fish?
Not unless it's mullet. No, ma'am, you can't.
And June.
Well, what can you order down there that would be all right?
Well, tell you the truth, I don't know. You can order turtle or catfish.
Cooter.
Vegetables.
Oh, I see. That, yeah. Mm-hmm. Catfish.
Yes, sir. And you remember when that was, when Marvin and them was singing, got 8,000 pounds in two nights.
I remember that, yes, sir. Marvin could tell you some tales that you wouldn't believe. And I run around all over the country at night by myself.
Checking up on things?
Checking up on things, and I told one game warden, I said, you know I've lied, what? Till I don't know when I'm telling the truth. He said, you know I'm the same way.
Well, you had to move around.
Mm-hmm.
Just be quiet about it.
Mm-hmm. See, I was a lookout.
Yeah. And you know, you knew pretty well where to go.
Yeah, the boys was on the lake, see?
Yeah.
And I was at home. They couldn't get the message to the boys, but I could. But if anything happened, they'd come to me. Then I'd have to get in the car and tear out.
Oh. And get word to the boys.
Hmm?
How'd you get word to them?
How'd I get rid of them? I had a signal. A light.
A light?
And when they seen that light, they knowed to get.
All you do is just flash your light?
Mm-hmm.
And they knowed it was you?
Yeah, they knew it was me. See, I'd go to the landing.
Oh, they knew where to look.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah, I'm a crook too.
Well, after you do it,
they were fishing for Dick Wilkerson.
Oh, and he handled them.
Mm-hmm. He had a fish house at Winster. Mm-hmm. And they'd haul them in there at night and weigh them up. And the big trucks would come and get them.
Take them across the border.
That's right. They made good money at it.
And there's enough for all of them to get a little.
Oh, yes, sir. And they had a big time. They were out there in that lake up to the under the arms, and they had the net, and they had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They enjoyed it. They'd do it again if they could.
They'd get out where they couldn't see them?
Where the game wardens couldn't see them?
Yeah.
Well, they'd get off in a place where if the game warden come across the lake, they'd know it.
Well, what I mean, they got in. They got in up to their arms.
And Marvin and a bunch of them were singing. And they had the net hit down there at 20 Brothers where we went that day. And there's a whole team of game wardens, I don't know how many, down there hid to catch the boys that night when they went out. And they were sitting down there, and the boys slipped up behind them, you know, and went and stole the boat and the net and got it away from them, and they don't know to this day what how it was done. And they brought it around to what you call Pine Island, and Marvin and Pat went down there and had it hid, went down there the next day and drug it out and brought it home and hid it. And then game warden was sitting down there a smoking cigarettes and talking, and was going to catch him. Lester Michael was one of them. He was an old fella. And he just sure don't, he don't know to this day what happened, but anyway, it disappeared. And they, Marvin and Pat slipped right up behind them and eased the boat out in the water, you know, and was very careful. And they were hid out there in the bushes by the road where they was going to come out with them. And they got stole everything right from under their nose. Why, they had the biggest time.
Well, that wasn't over there at the 20 Brothers.
Yeah. Right down there, 20 Brothers is where they stole the boat and the net. The game wardens knew it was there because they had found it. And they were sitting there waiting for the boys to come so they could get the boys, and Marvin and Pat slipped out there and stole it.
And they don't know to this day what happened.
Don't know to this day what happened. Floyd Towns and Marvin's oldest brother was hauling fish. And up at Pfeiffer, you know about where the inspection station is beside the railroad?
Yeah.
Well, there was a gang of them lay away the road and was going to catch him. And he had a whole, several old dried hog heads. And he put the, he knew that they were there, and he put them old dried up hog heads in the back of his car and come along there, and they stopped him. And one of them said, "Get out and let up your hood." And Floyd, he acted like he didn't want to do it, you know, but he finally got out and he unlocked it and held it up. And one of them went up and then stuck his head up there. And the other just fell backward just like it. He didn't have nothing but some old dried up hog heads in the back of the car. Them boys were mean as a dickie.
Now that was a dry run. Mm-hmm. They knowed what was waiting for them.
Yeah, but Floyd knew they was waiting for him, and he put them old hog heads in there. Just to fool them.
Was he mean?
Nothing
like
only
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm?
He could think of things.
Mm-hmm. That was Floyd.
Floyd Martin's oldest brother.
He's the oldest one, huh? Well, where's Floyd?
He lives at Winster's. He was at my house last Saturday, days a week ago, him and his wife.
Them game wardens had the knife, didn't they?
They sure did.
And you know, and you knew the game wardens.
Oh yeah, yes ma'am.
They were all well acquainted, say. They all knew each other.
But we didn't have but one friend. We didn't have but one friend. There was Collie Hall from Cross City, and Wilton Souls. He was a game warden. He's been in my house. We didn't trust them jokers. And Collie Hall from Citra, and just a number of fellas by the name of Barber, and I couldn't tell you who all else. But we didn't have but one friend.
Dick's friend?
Yeah, he was Dick's friend. But when he come and he said, "Boys, don't you go on that lake. Them boys knew not to go on that lake." And he come to me one day and he says, "I can't do it." But he says, "I want you to do something for me." I said, "Well, I will if I can." He said, "I want you to go to George Balt night. And I want you to tell them for me." And they were bringing out scale fish down that Snow's Landing by the tub pools with a catfish. And the game wardens was going to get him. He says, now they're going to be there. And tell him from me that I want to be a friend to him, and I know he's trying to make a living. And to please don't bring out nary scale fish at that landing tonight. If they do, they're going to get caught. Well, I got in the car and I went over there, and all of them was done gone fishing. And I told Louise, I said, Louise, get them word. And Louise said, damn talk. That's all you can hear. If people would keep their mouths shut, they wouldn't be so many damn game wardens. I went back and I told this game warden what she said. And I said, don't never come to me and ask me to tell them another word, because I'm not. He says, well, I'll sure where it's talking on. And that night they got caught. Caught John Henry and George.
Both of them.
Both of them, and they had to pay a big fine.
And go to court.
No, they just paid the fine. See, they paid the fine, and they didn't have to go to court.
Oh.
That was a big fine.
Well, they could afford to pay a fairly good fine, couldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And keep the fish.
They got the fish. The game wardens took the fish. There's evidence.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Albert, George, and John Henry recollect that.
I don't know whether they did or not. But I haven't ever cared them any more words. They've been caught since then. With trout in the boat, you're not supposed to have trout. Well, you cat line. No to catch scale fish at all, unless it's a mudfish.
You're just not supposed to have it when it's in
right.
the boat.
That's right.
But there was a time when you could catch anything, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, ma'am. There was a time when it wasn't against the law.
I wish George and John Henry could talk. They're tongue-tied, both of them.
Well, they don't know nothing. You wouldn't get anything out of them.
Well, I couldn't understand them if they did.
They don't know a thing in the world about anything but making moonshine, catfishing, and frog hunting.
Well, yeah.
This baby, showed his picture of his there. His uncle.
That's right. I remembered when he said the name.
Okay. Here it is. I'm telling you, things have happened around here, haven't they?
And they must make still pretty good money catching catfish.
They must.
Yes, but you know those catfish get small. They run up small. It looks like if they just let them go for a day or two.
George Botnight went to the Buick place one time. He was bareheaded and barefooted and had on an old raggedy coat. He went in there to buy him a brand new Buick.
Yeah, that's
and they wouldn't even talk to him.
That's hard to believe.
And that's true. You go ask him if you don't believe it. They wouldn't even talk to him. And he told them. He said, well, I got the money right here in my pocket. He said to pay for it. And pulled it out and paid cash for it.
A new Buick.
A brand new Buick.
I never have seen him with any shoes on.
He don't wear no shoes.
Cold weather or not. And very seldom a shirt.
That's right.
Oh.
He lives right below, down there, close to, not far from us. She's never seen anybody rack up the bait. That's something. You done that, Miss Mary?
Mm-hmm. I have a little bit. Not much.
What do they do? Rack it up?
Mm-hmm. Rack. We'll show you. But that's what they do all the time, you see.
Yes, ma'am. I believe I'm going to go back.
Okay, here it is.
And I expect I better get back to the house.
Yes.
You need to say nothing. You got to go pull a pump.
I'm ready. I'm willing. How was it called? Solid.
She wanted to see the new horse because he's tall. How big it was. I told her I was going to ride Molly over. I said I didn't know if Molly could make it that far, and she said that Mr. Guthrie used to ride 10 times that far every day on his horse when he'd go out hunting cattle. If Molly can't make it that far, she's not much of a horse.
Well, that's what I thought about. You could have taken your horse over there. But see, you'd get... It takes this thing so long to get going. See, she works every morning. She don't work in the middle of the day. That's been my trouble. They catching them on their right. I brought this out just when I had something in there. And shimpers.
A lot green.
I wish we could find out how to do it.
Wait, let me just hold up just a minute. Dollar tone.
Everything from politics to...
You don't know the points of it, you see.
No.
I'll show you some of the points. Lee?
Yeah.
Let me get you. You want to go? I'll go.
You go.
She'd rather you go.
No.
Because you are.
The other night.
I've been dying.
Don't know.
Hadn't seen her?
Haven't seen her, haven't heard a word from her.
Let me tell you. I was over there, you know the day, and that bull she got for me, she gonna have to butcher that bull. You know that?
Well, she told you, that told her that it would be best for her too.
See, she got the prettiest bull he had, Patrick, and he was just he'd leave all the others and come on up there, and I can see him right now, just a little fella, right there, halfway up the back lane, just standing there looking at me to see if I was going to give him a handout, and he'd come right up there.
I believe that bull was hurt. I'll always believe it.
Well, it certainly had no symptoms over here. Mm-mm. He was.
You know, I don't know whether you know it or not, but I think you do, that Mr. Dodd, he is not kind with animals at all, and Johnny's just like him.
Yeah.
If they have to do something that they don't want to do, they're ready to kill it. And I do know some things, I don't know that he done that, but I know some things he done.
Well, you can hurt an animal.
Huh?
You can hurt an animal.
Why, you can pick up a stick and hit a cow in the side and you'll kill it. Mr. Guthrie always told Marvin to be very careful and not hit a cow in the side with a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're easy, he said, to kill. And I just believe that bull was hurt. I told him his dog so. I said, that bull was hurt. That's died. I said, that bull didn't have no pneumonia. Not that long.
And couldn't get over it.
Couldn't get over it and still got it. You know he didn't have pneumonia. And she said he'd foam, you know, at the nose. Well, that shows that he was hurt inside somewhere or another. And that cow that was butchered over there, you know, I don't know nothing. That veterinary butchered that day?
Yeah.
And that veterinary said that cow had a heart attack?
Yeah.
Shoot, that yearling just as sure was hurt.
Yeah.
Don't you know if it had a lick across the heart, hard enough to kill it, that it would make his heart discolored? He didn't know, that vet didn't no more know what that guy died with than I did, I don't believe. They
well,
don't.
No. Well, I'm telling you, I've had trouble over here. These cows, you know, if you let them get ahead of you, it's hard to break them.
Yeah.
And I had these yearling heifers, there's one of them out there that was my friend. Every time I'd go out, she'd speak to me. Well, it's all right for a while, you see. But then all the rest of them picked it up. And I couldn't hardly get out of the house. I'd have to go the front way. And, well, you hate to just knock the fire out of them.
Yeah.
I
don't do it.
I put her in that corral.
I got one at home that's old. She's sharp on. Her horns are so sharp and she just fights. I may be doing wrong. I may be getting myself in trouble, but I'm going to send her off. You know what it cost? They charge you to sell a cow for a veterinary to test her? $4.
Yeah.
But that's that market.
That comes off your ticket. Well, let me tell you. I got me a little old stick to it, but it's all rotten. And these little palm fronds, you know, you can hit them and pop them, and then you get the palm leaves, and you can just knock the fire out of them.
That's the way I do when we go to load them. I get me a cabbage palm leaf,
yeah,
and I scare the fire out of them and make them go up in.
But that doesn't hurt.
No, ma'am, that don't hurt.
Well, now that's what I got after her, and she just run around there and duck her head and get in the corner, you see. And I'd whack her with that paddle, you see, and all like that. She thought she'd been killed.
Mm-hmm.
It done just as much good as the two before.
That's right.
And then I hit her on the rump,
mm-hmm,
and on the nose. Now, maybe that's not the proper place, the nose.
No, I don't like to see anybody hit a cow on the nose. Me and Marvin's had more ups and downs about that. I don't let him hit them on the nose if I can help it. Now, then they're little cabbage palms, like you say. That don't hurt, but if you hit them with that stick, that will hurt.
Oh, it will. Oh, it will.
Well, I want to tell y'all something. This is a secret. I don't want nobody else to know it. But I don't know where I sold my place or not.
That's
right. I got a letter from my lawyer last night. And Scott wanted him to write to me and see if I would extend 90 days longer.
I tell you, what Schweikart told me, he said you were just giving it away. He said you got $1,000 just as easy.
You can't do no such a thing, Mr. Miles, for that many acres.
The more acres, the more you can get.
Well, he wrote me a letter, and I'm not going to extend the time.
Hey, don't extend it, and just get it back and let him sell it again for you. Get a Schweikart working for you.
I ain't going to do it. I don't want to have nothing to do with Schweikart. You know what he done? He went down yonder to Woods and tried to rent that land to Fred Woods for watermelons this year, and Fred Woods come to my house, and I said, I don't know how in the world Schweikart went to you and tried to rent my property to you for watermelons. And I said, you better not. I said, Swackboard ain't got nothing to do with that, nor Scott ain't either. That's still my property. I paid taxes on it, and there ain't been no papers exchanged. And I said, that's still my property. If you don't believe it, throw Freddie Woods. I said, you call up Adney Adkins and ask him who it belongs to.
Yeah.
And he's been all over the country, and he went somewhere else and tried to rent it to somebody else for something, but I can't remember now what it was. He ain't got no business going all over the country trying to rent that place.
Well, now that's a little surprising.
Well, he did it. Fred come up to the house.
See about it?
Just before he went to Ms. Dodd's, and I told him no. I said, Swicord, you can't get that from Swicord. That belongs to me.
And Swicord didn't say anything to you about it?
Yeah, he might even see him.
You know, he got a divorce.
Who?
Swicord.
When?
Since you seen him.
Is that right?
And he says the judge couldn't understand it. He told the judge, he said the judge was the sort of fella, he liked to help people patch up their troubles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to telling Swicord, you know, that he might just be, not be so hasty about this thing. And Swicord talked to him, and he told the judge, why, he says, since I've got this divorce, I'm just about to get it. Me and my wife is getting along better than we ever did before. And he says the judge looked at him as if he didn't understand what he's talking about. But you'd understand.
No, I wouldn't be there, because, you know, I don't know nothing about nothing like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to extend the time. The time will be up in March.
That's coming. That's not long.
And he ain't getting out. Now, I understand that he went to work and bought all that Simonson Ranch.
That same fella?
Same fella. And he's bought up I don't know what all. Now, Freddie Woods told me he knows all about it.
Yeah.
And his daddy did, too. Well, he told me, he wrote Mr. Adkins a letter, and Mr. Adkins sent it to me. Well, it's bad that anybody can't meet their obligations, but I've got to meet my obligations, too.
Well?
And it'll soon be time for me to go over there and plant cow feed or do something with it. And if I can't get my money out of it, well, the deal is off.
Yeah, but you don't have much labor now over there.
Well, I got West over there.
Yeah. As I understand it, they paid $1 million for that Simon Ranch. $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know how big it is.
If he don't come up with my money, I'm going to see Mr. Adkins Monday. And I'm going to tell Mr. Adkins the deal is off.
Yeah.
If my money don't come up.
In March.
That's right.
Well, now, if he got all that Simonson Ranch, he don't care about this little old fiddling amount of land you got.
No.
Well, they got 2 or 3 sections, 3 or 4, I don't know how much. I don't know how much they got over there. That's what Swicord said to me one day. Guess where it was.
Well, he sure has changed his tune.
What did he say to you?
He told me and Marvin that was a good price. And I asked Mr. Adkins and Mr. Adkins' attorney what they thought about it. And we was private by ourselves too, and they said they thought that was a good deal. See? I'm supposed to get 55% over what they pay me. If they sell it for $1,000 or $2,000 an acre, or a half an acre for $1,000, I'm supposed to get 55% of it.
Oh.
Above what they pay me for it.
Oh, you've got that sort of
thing. Now, that's the way it's sewed up. And I asked Mr. Atkins about it, and Mr. Atkins said, you sure got a good income.
Not that, Jim. I get you to sell my property.
And Mr. Atkins told him, says, now, if you all miss one payment on this, he says, I'm going to foreclose on you. He says, I'm taking it back. And he told him, see, I've got so much laid up in escrow. And he told him, he says, if you don't take it, you don't get this money back. So she gets it. I don't know what they're going to do about that. But I believe that they'll come across that. I think they just want to put me off, but they ain't going to do it. I'm just going to tell Mr. Atkins I'm going to make an appointment with him Monday, and I'm going up there to see him. And I'm going to just sit down and tell him that I just ain't going to do it.
That's 3 months.
Mm-hmm. It sure it is.
And that would knock you out of the cow feet and putting in your pasture.
Well, sure, and I went and spent all my money that I could get a hold of and buy fence post and wire and fenced it out. And
That's right.
Got it ready for them, and of course they went in there and surveyed it, but they didn't have to do. I didn't make them do it. I told them I weren't going to do it.
Yes, sir. You got that fence up just in time. Well, they'd have to.
There's another man over there in Gainesville called Marvin. I don't know how many times and wants it to set out peach trees.
Oh, really?
Doctor, somebody from the university.
Yeah.
And the last time he talked to Marvin, he asked Marvin. He says, "Well, would you mind if I call you again?" Marvin says, "Call me anytime you want to." And I think he's kind of in hopes that these people won't take it and he can buy it from me.
And he'll buy it.
That's what I think. Now, I don't know. He didn't say it in them words. But that's what I think.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice to sell to him.
And he asked Marvin, he says, if these people don't take it, would you consider selling it to me? Marvin said, I sure would. Just as soon sell it to you as anybody.
Yeah. We better get them greens, then.
Yes, sir.
Before somebody along the line might change their mind. I declare, you look a lot perkier than you did the other day.
I am lots perkier.
You think it's the weather?
I just think it's just time. I wore that flu out.
Well, I can remember time after time I'd catch a cold or the flu early in the year, and I'd have it clear on up to Valentine's.
That there Farm Mutual man that runs that store over there at Gainesville told us yesterday, he said his wife had been sick way before Christmas, and said some days, she says, well, I've got it licked, and said that night she'd have a chill and the fever would come on her and she'd be just as bad off as ever.
Yeah.
Well, that's just exactly the way I was.
All that time. Well, I certainly am glad to see you. Yourself again.
And your animals are all pretty good shape?
Fairly. We ain't had no little cows yet.
Well, you're going to have to refertilize.
You going to let me have some money?
I'm going to put all I got in this hole.
In your room?
Yeah.
Well, that's the trouble.
That old road just won't grow.
Someone right, the end of the visit, around about 900, and the end of the visit with Miss Mary, with Debbie, and Fayette after lunch this Saturday, the 27th of January, 73. Channel 1 right, and the end of the visit with Miss Mary is around 900, and the end of the visit with Miss Mary with Debbie. And Faye, Rick wasn't here, is not here, this Saturday after lunch, the 27th of January, 73.